Yes, here we are. Oh.
Just going to throw my phone on silent because you guys don't need to hear that ding, ding, ding in the background.
And you are recording.
Perfect. Awesome. Yes. We should be recording in like three different ways right now, guys. We had some technical difficulties again on Monday. Of course, this is a learning curve for us as well as you guys. We're just getting used to this whole Zoom thing and how it works and how it doesn't work, apparently.
But what I really, really appreciate, guys, is you guys sticking with us for showing your enthusiasm for, like, it's just so heartwarming that you guys are wanting this information. Believe me, it's a lot of work on our parts to do the research and the legwork for you guys and, you know, putting together these slideshows. And not to say we don't mind, that we love doing this, but it's really great feeling to be appreciated. Truly.
Definitely. And we are so excited to present the material to you finally. I know a lot of you guys have been waiting for this third installment of Recession Proof Your Business. This week's all about doing your social media. And I know there's a lot of questions surrounding social media and all that jazz. So again, just as we say every time, you know, throw some questions in the comments. You know, we'll definitely try and answer everything as best as we can. And if we don't answer it right now, we will get to you after the live is over.
Yes. And you know what? It's actually very fitting that we're going live today because even though you guys like our live that we did the other day, we actually did it beginning to end and it did not, like, our recording got scrapped or something. It just, like, that's why I asked, is Mercury in retrograde? But I've just indulged in some very inspirational stuff the last couple of days in regards to social media, in terms of just kind of our mental health, and like we're diving into the social media thing, and mostly I just want to talk about like having a healthy relationship with social media, because I know that that's where everyone is hanging out right now. That's why it is actually so important for us to be present and be there. But it's not necessary to always be like
connected,
always connected and always kind of, documenting everything you're doing now. Like I woke up and this is what I'm doing now. And then I did this workout and then I ate this and here's a bowl of that. And oh, now I'm doing this. And it's just almost like you're looking for approval constantly from everybody else. And you kind of stop doing things just for you. So I think it's just really important right now to have a very healthy boundary and relationship with social media, because real life is still happening around you, you know? So definitely it's a great time to be using it for business. Absolutely. But healthy boundaries, you know? I did make a post on the BBC today about high vibration, low vibration activities that we could be doing right now. And if you are feeling anxiety, depression, you're feeling jealous, you're feeling angry, you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling uncertain, you just generally feel like you have this cloud around you, it's usually a really great sign that you are participating in too many low vibe activities, eating junk food, watching too much TV, just almost doing mindless things. I would just encourage you to integrate maybe one high vibe activity every single day. And the earlier you can do it in your day, the better.
I can totally relate to that. When I read it, I'm like, yep, doing that, eating junk food, sleeping too much. Like it really does make you feel worse. It, you know, you kind of, you feel anxious and you feel depressed and it doesn't really help the situation, obviously. I did this really interesting exercise. This is a little bit off topic before we get started, but it was through one of my favorite authors. Her name's actually Christy Whitman. This book is amazing. She's all about manifestation. She's a little bit down the rabbit hole, but I love her. And I'm going through this book right now. And what the exercise had me do was write down everything I want out of my business, out of my life, even if it was over the top. And then the second thing I did was write all my limiting beliefs. So if I said, I want a business that's going to make $100,000, and then my limiting belief might be, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to work enough to make $100,000 after taxes or whatever. And then I have to go back and then say to myself, I am capable of making money through different streams of revenue. I do not have to trade my dollar or my time for money. like, you know, you make up all these, basically a list of things that you're going to remind yourself of all the time. And that's how you're going to achieve some of these big goals. And it just felt so good afterwards, you know, it just got some of that negative energy out.
Yeah, it's just one activity. And like at the end of the post, I didn't write what high vibe activity are you taking part in, but I rather ask the real question of what low vibe activities are you like guiltily and overindulging in? Because I think it's so much more relatable, because not all of us are sitting in meditation and doing our yoga and eating our drinking our green smoothie every day. You know, we're not, because we're human. And, you know, this can be a difficult time sometimes. So I think it's important to acknowledge the things that we're doing, connect, unite, see each other the way that we are and for who we are, and then help each other move forward. So, I mean, yeah, that's brought to you by Instagram and social media. And how much time are we really devoting to, if anyone else is watching this stupid show, Too Hot to Handle on Netflix, which, like, it's just all these reality shows are coming out because they just know you are going to binge them. I refuse to binge. I just like to turn my brain off once in a while, and that's okay too. It's perfectly normal.
Absolutely. But without further ado, guys, because we don't want to keep you too long, we're going to pull up this slideshow here.
Let's see.
We're going to get started. Yep.
Okay, sorry about that. I accidentally turned on. There we go.
It's all good.
Awesome. We got some people joining us here. Awesome. Giselle, Jong Jay.
Awesome.
I can't say her name. I wish she would just stop letting me butcher it. All right,
so this is Recession Proof Week 3, everything you need to know about social media. So again, guys, if you have questions, throw them in the bottom there. We are more than happy to help. What you'll be learning today, find out what you need to be doing on social media, where you need to be spending your time, what you can basically eliminate, and what you actually need to pay attention to. How to be intentional with your content, so really planning out what you're going to be putting up for a reason, and how to create click-worthy posts. So, you know, those people who constantly get the likes and the comments and the feedback from people and the DMs, like, what is it that makes those posts more worthy of people's attention? Our favorite editing program and organizational app. So we're going to share with you guys the programs that we love to use. We have been basically upping our social media game for the past 3 years. I feel like my social media has come a long way. So we're going to let you know what we're using, and hopefully that will help you to create a better page. So we're going to start by reflecting on last week. Hopefully you guys have watched week one and week two. If you haven't, go back and definitely watch it. We had given out a workbook, so we're just reflecting now on what you discovered about your dream client, what that revealed to you. Was it easy to define this dream client that you know you want to be seeing in your chair on a regular basis? And how did it make you feel going through your service menu? Like I had talked about in week two, what are those services that you're offering but you don't necessarily want to be offering anymore? How can you slim that service menu down and become a little bit more niche in your market?
Yep. I mean, and these things are going to be so important moving forward with social media, because in social media, we talk a lot about audience. And who's your audience? Your audience is your ideal client. Now, if you've identified that person, you've looked into their social media, you see what they like, you know them very well. Well, guess what? Social media stops being confusing and starts being very, very easy, because you know what they want to hear, the language that they're going to like to be spoken in. Spoken to. Huh?
You know, they're definitely
just English, unless you realize your client is in a community of a different speaking language.
So why focus on social media for your business? Well, these are just some interesting facts we wanted to throw out there, just so you guys realize just how many people are actually on social media. 1 million Instagram followers per month are active on Instagram. That's just wild. 1 billion. Oh my God, not 1 million, 1 billion. 6 out of 10 adults have an Instagram account. So that means a lot of people out there are using Instagram. Facebook has 250 billion per month. Facebook, I would say, is a more of an international app. So yeah. We're going to have a lot more people that are from different regions of the world using Facebook and connecting that way. But I still think that Facebook's a really important element today. There's different things that can be shared on Facebook that can't be shared on Instagram. And there's different reasons why you'd use either program. And 7 out of 10 adults have a Facebook account, from, you know, my youngest nieces and nephews to my mom and my aunts. They're all on there. Whether they're using it regularly or not, that's a different story. But if they know you're there and you're creating content, they're going to see you. 80% of those people on Facebook and Instagram are following at least one business in their account. I think many more people are following more than one business, likely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I mean, we all get suckered into following some of the bigger businesses and, you know, the influencers and all the different people pushing products. 75% of Facebook users make an income of over $75,000. So your target market is hanging out on Facebook. It's guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Whoops. Sorry. Social media is the easiest way to reach new clients, but you must have a strategy behind what you're doing. Back in the day when I started posting on Instagram, it's actually funny to go back and see what I did. It was just so random. I would post like once a month, once every 2 months when I felt I had a good image. My backgrounds were all busy. My pictures weren't clear. You know, the phones too, like even 4 or 5 years ago, were not taking that high caliber of photo, or yeah, high caliber of photo. So even the clarity of the photos has come a long way, and the true to tone colors.
Yes.
So there are 5 types of social content that we want to see you guys posting, not just one, but 5. Hopefully you recognize this one. Featured posts. So this is what we would consider the grid on your Instagram, you know, showing your aesthetics pictures or your rehab pictures or your hair pictures. That's only one element of using social media. Try not to get overwhelmed by this, but there are a lot of facets that you can dive into. The second one would be stories. So stories are those little bubbles that you see at the top of the Instagram and Facebook pages. Facebook now has it as well. These are where we're going to show what we're doing behind the scenes. Really, really important that we separate our work from what we're doing. It can get a little messy when you start posting stories to your page. I would definitely recommend that the stuff that you're doing outside of work and all, you know, playing with your kids and stuff, be a little bit separate. You can definitely let people see into that part of your life, but keep it a little bit separated.
Even the quality is going to be different in your stories than it is in your grid, possibly. You know, your grid might look a little bit more professional, where, you know, your story doesn't really need to be.
And I think that's where people really don't use it often enough, is because they think it has to be like scripted and perfect. No. Don't consider stories to have to be so, you know, so perfect. That's the best word I can use. They can be very organic and very natural. And the funny thing is with people is that they actually enjoy seeing people being real. You know, it's very, very, you know, annoying to see everyone being so perfect. It's actually more connecting when you see someone that looks more real and more like yourself, right?
So much more relatable, you know, and it's very often now we're hearing in like social media research that all those very curated pretty accounts are no longer as, like, they're popular, but they're not what people are looking for. They're looking for a little bit more connection, something that they can relate to. So you want it to be beautiful, but you want it to be relatable and have variety.
The crazy thing about stories too, is that there are people that are kind of ignoring the pictures now and just going straight for the stories.
It's the first thing I do.
Right? Sometimes it's just, you feel like you get to know people a little bit more that way.
Mm-hmm.
The third way would be IGTV, which are longer form videos on Instagram, and Facebook Watch, which is basically Facebook's version of that. Both of them can host 10-minute videos for people, most of us, depending on how many followers you have is how much time you can actually post. So I think most of us would get up to a 10-minute video that you could put up that would live there on your IGTV or your Facebook Watch forever. It's kind of like your own little YouTube channel.
Yeah.
A lot of people are putting longer videos of them doing services on their clients. I think that that's an amazing way to show people what you do and how you do it.
Yeah. But I mean, as we do know, our attention spans are quite short. So I think usually 5-minute mark is like magic.
Or if you have children, you only get 5 minutes to yourself. So seriously though. And then there's blog-like posts. a lot of people are doing these wonderful story like posts. I think you got to be careful about how long you make them. There's times when I read someone's like stuff and I'm like, ah, it's too long. But you can go deeper into your thoughts using your, you know, where you type your words underneath your posts, because sometimes it's better to do more than just a, you know, two word element underneath of it. A lot of hairstylists, for instance, were using like, oh, here's my caramel balayage. Mm-hmm. That's fine to do once in a while.
But pecan.
Yeah, exactly.
In their
double hair.
I want to see it on my plate or in my ice cream cone, not in my caption or my hair.
Yeah. And they want to kind of know a little bit more about that. But you need to go back to thinking who your audience is, what your brand is like, you know, what are you into? What are your clients into? Make it relevant for them.
Yes. And I think for things like that, you know, it works very, very well. I specifically use this for my bridal content. I try and remember that day in my mind. I try and or remember that appointment, and I try and remember that person and the connection and something special that happened that day. And I try and describe that in the picture. And I'll never forget this day. It was so great. We had this awesome conversation and this happened, blah, blah, blah. People really like that. The client who's featured in the picture really, really appreciates it. And they feel so cared for, so thought about.
People love a shout out. They love to feel important.
They do. And I think just so quality content like that is just so much more meaningful than like what, you know, butter pecan.
Absolutely. I want some butter pecans now. Thanks a lot. I'm trying to stop the junk food. So number five is live video, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Live video is something that scares a lot of people initially. The first time you go live, I could literally remember hitting that go live button and kind of go gulp, you know, oh my God, we're going live. My first time live was actually with you, Anya, about, I don't know, a year and a bit ago, a year and a half ago. And like, we literally had a glass of wine because we were like, oh, this is crazy. It's not that crazy. Once you've done it once or twice, it becomes really, really natural and organic. And it's not something you need to be scared of. No one's taking notes on how you look or how you talk or the mistakes you make. God knows I can't talk very well half the time. You just got to do it. You got to do it. You got to make yourself vulnerable and just put yourself out there.
And there's no trick. The only trick is the more you do it, the better you get at it. That's really it. Like that's it. And so experience is the best teacher. You just kind of got to get your hands a little bit dirty.
Absolutely. And we're going to kind of go over these five categories in the next few slides, but just to get you guys thinking, your posts should always have some sort of value to them, whether they be entertaining, educational, controversial, instructional, or inspirational. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And do not forget to show yourself. That's probably the number one thing your clients love. They come to see you. So if you're posting just pictures of your business and your services, you're forgetting about you, which is why your clients come. They don't care if you're perfect. They love you. They think they're your friend, right? They probably are your friend. They're not judging you in the way that you are judging yourself. So just put yourself out there. Show your face.
Giselle just said, she says, I can't. I'm too shy.
We've all been there, but it's so important to do.
I just saw you, Giselle. I just saw you post a video of you blow drying your hair. You know, that really inspired me. And I thought, you know what? I might make a video of me blow drying my hair. So, and I should have messaged you and I should have told you that, because a lot of times we really don't know how we're affecting others. And you probably just didn't even think that. You think little old me making my blow dry video, but I thought it was great. And it made me think that that's a great idea. You know,
I actually had a client contact me the other day and say, you know what, I'm glad you're, you know, sharing your videos and your stories. I'm really enjoying watching what you're doing with the kids and what you guys are doing at home. That really actually impacted me, because I thought, you know, in the back of my mind, I think nobody cares. Nobody, you know, whatever, I'm going to post something. But people are watching, especially your clients. They are watching and they do enjoy getting that little sneak peek of what you're doing while you're off work.
Yes. They miss you.
They do. So where are stylists missing the mark? Why likes are no longer an indicator of success or failure? Guys, things have really changed over the past couple of years on social media. Initially, when we all started out, with Facebook. Likes were like the end all and be all. That's really all there was, right? There was likes and comments. But we can't forget all of the different elements that the computer algorithms are now using to judge whether people will like your content or not. So now there is actually a computer making the decisions for what's showing up in people's feeds. So the things that are actually going to feed the algorithm, the types of engagement, are likes and comments, as well as the number of views something gets, the number of shares it gets, the number of saves it gets. I don't know if you guys know the little flag in the corner of the picture. You can always save a picture off Instagram for later. And if people save your stuff, it shows that it's probably worth saving, which it means it's probably worth seeing. Direct messages, so DMs, some people call them. So it actually counts towards your building up your algorithm to be talking to people on direct message, believe it or not. And tapping on those sliders, polls, and questions that you can throw into your story. I don't know if you guys ever use those little sticker functions that are in the stories. So basically, if you create a story, you can add, you know, you can add little characters, little pictures, things like that. But you can also add a question or a poll or that little heart that you can slide over. And when people interact with those, which a lot of people are compelled to touch buttons, it's just a weird thing that happens with people. You want to touch the button, right? That actually helps you, believe it or not. So use those functions. Instagram made them and they want you to use them.
Additionally, I don't know if we have it here, but could consider tapping on sliders. Also those carousels, the carousel photo, you know, now we have the capability of adding two or three photos once in a while. You know, we always want to save our content, be like, I just want to post one picture. But you got to think, so we're not thinking in terms of likes anymore, right? We're not thinking about likes. The word is engagement. So how many times are people tapping on different things on your page, you know? So you have to engage them to do that. You have to give them the opportunity to slide your carousel of pictures, take a poll, answer something. It's not just a self-fulfilling, egotistical thing. It's Instagram noticing that people want to engage with you. They want to interact with you because it is social media after all, and they want you to be social on it, right?
Absolutely. If you're not being social with your followers, then it's showing them that you're not really engaging and that you're not worth posting, right? So watch time is actually another thing that's relatively new to the algorithm. So when someone's watching a video that you post, even if they don't click the like button, they've actually watched 5 to 10 seconds of your video. That also boosts your algorithm or your engagement on Instagram, believe it or not. So a lot of those creepers that are not, you know, you get like, you post a video, it gets like 10 likes, but it gets like 300 views.
Yeah,
300 views is what matters, believe it or not. And the swipe up function. So on the stories, unfortunately, you have to have 10,000 followers or more to use this function now. I'm not sure exactly why. But the swipe up are when you can add a link to your story. So you could say like, oh, book an appointment, swipe up to get my booking system. Hopefully it changes soon. It allows people with less followers to use. It's kind of annoying that only like celebrity Instagram users can use it. But at one point we could use it for the business. I don't think that's an option anymore.
Christine brought up a really good point actually last time we filmed this that I want to touch on about the how unimportant likes are. You know, we think that Instagram removed our ability to see how many likes people get for our mental health, when in reality they did that because they wanted to signal to us that, hey, this is not what's important anymore. And you're focusing way too much on this. And this isn't what's going to boost your account, right? Because they don't want people paying attention to that. So that's a great indicator. Likes don't matter. People can't even see them. So who cares? Followers also don't matter. It's not a popularity contest. It's about being intentional with your content, engaging with your clients, and bringing in new clients. That's it. As long as you're doing that, it doesn't matter if you have 400, 500, 5,000 people following you. You have to get over the fact of needing it to stroke your ego. you know?
It's a crazy thing, actually. I remember, I think it was Jamie Dana had said at one point that getting more followers wasn't necessarily a good thing for her business, because the assumption actually was, like, when you're over like 10,000 or 15,000 followers, the assumption is you're booked, and people will stop actually making a phone call to see you because they assume you're so busy. They assume you're so expensive. And it actually, sometimes they end up not busy because they have so many followers that people start to think these people are way above what I can afford or whatever. So you don't want to be there unless you want to be an influencer. You don't want to be in the 10 or 15,000, 20,000 range. Like, there are people that definitely want to get, you know, brands behind them. They want to get sponsored. That's a completely different way of looking at social media. You really have to decide who you're talking to. Are you talking to the brands and the hairdressers, or are you talking to the customers? Because that's two totally different types of language, two totally different types of posts. You know, you're going to give the how-to maybe to the esthetician, the how-to to the people doing rehab. But to your clients, you're not going to explain in technical terms that they can't understand. You're going to speak in more mundane language that they can understand. So keep that in mind when you're posting. It's got to be to the right content, to the right group of people.
Absolutely. And to be perfectly honest, you know, Christine, like, I have 1700 followers, Christine got 2000 and some odd followers. And even with that, you know, you definitely have this sense of, who am I to be teaching people about social media? Because you have this perception that I should be a 20,000 follower social media influencer. But I'm not a social media influencer. I'm a hairstylist that's busy behind the chair. And I use social media for that. And if you want to learn about that, then, like, me and Christine are more than well equipped to teach you about that, because that's exactly, we're in the business of making money,
exactly, not
trying to be popular, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, you could be super, super popular with numbers and not actually be busy in your suite. So two totally different things.
Taking the weight of having to be popular on Instagram and taking it off of your shoulders. You don't have to be, okay?
Absolutely. As you can see on the right there, I just gave a little simple explanation of what an algorithm is, just in case some people are still confused. Social media algorithms are a way of sorting posts in a user's feed based on relevancy instead of publish time. So back in the day, guys, they used to go in chronological order. That is no longer the case. They're not in, you know, posted by time anymore. They're posted by relevancy, which is why you can have 700 of your high school friends on your Facebook, and some of them you just never see their posts. Probably because you haven't shown interest in them in the past. So they automatically get kind of booted out of your feed, because they can't show you everything, right? There's just way too much content. Social networks. Social networks prioritize the content a user sees in their feed first by the likelihood that they'll actually want to see it. So thank you. Thank you, Instagram. Thank you, Facebook, for making my feed less filled with the crap I don't want to see and more of the stuff that I do want to see. Right? For a purpose.
It's good for all of us.
Absolutely. So what is your intention with social media? We were just talking about this. Do you know exactly who your audience is? Going back to your ideal client, who are you speaking to? Are you using the right verbiage with this audience? Do they look forward to what you have to say? Are you making an effort to regularly add posts that add some sort of value to their life? Going back to those five things we talked about. Are you showing enough of yourself? Again, big underline under yourself, because to me, every third to fourth to fifth post needs to be of you doing something. Now that the weather is getting better, guys, choose a person to go out with to take pictures. Anya and Tatiana and I have done this before at Marie Curtis Park. We took an SLR, we went down to the park, we put nice outfits on, and we took pictures down by the water, down by the bridge, in the park. There is no reason why you can't have some nicer photos of you. You just need one person that can shoot a good photo. You could take your cell phone.
One Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so important. And I know some of us are shy and it's difficult to get in front of the camera and we think, who am I? But if you don't want to post those shitty pictures of yourself with no makeup on around the house, well, I mean, those don't belong on your professional page anyways. Those belong in your story, not on your grid.
The other thing you do is take multiple outfits. If you are like, oh, I don't have time to be doing these photo shoots all the time. Pick a half day, take three outfits. Curl your hair in the first picture, put it up in the second, change your outfit, do something different so people can't tell that it was done on the same day. Trust me, no one's thinking about these things. Only we're thinking people know. People don't know. They know it's all facade.
Just a picture in your suite. Oh, I love to see those.
Or of your suite.
Yeah.
I get a lot of likes when I post a picture of my suite. It's because people are looking for inspiration, right? It's something that you have to think about. And how do we create click-worthy content? So it's more important to focus on what you're putting out there than to just post for no reason. A lot of people think, oh, I have to post every day. Not unless you've got something juicy. You know, if you're just posting to post, don't bother. Wait till you've got something good. Post consistently.
It's caramel buttercream. We don't want to hear about it.
Exactly. The other thing you guys got to be careful with is posting too much. There's times when you get flooded with the same person's post, like they're trying to catch up with a week's worth of posts. Don't do that. That annoys me. I block you. That means everyone else is thinking the same. No offense. So what type of posts get the most engagement today, guys? Again, we're looking at entertaining posts, educational posts, controversial posts, instructional posts, and inspiration and motivational posts. I want to break this down a little bit for you guys because I'm sure we can think of someone who does each of these categories well. Entertaining. How many people see people that they really enjoy that go on their IGTV and make these very interesting videos, or they've got these really captivating, weird images that just draw you and you just want to save the picture or take a screenshot of it? Do something that keeps people entertained. Just like the picture on the right there of the lady doing yoga. Anya's been doing live yoga classes. It's entertaining. Even if you're not doing the yoga, you're going to learn something by watching her, right? It's really neat to just dive into something that's new. And it's not hard to come up with something that's entertaining. Even a conversation, you know, go on with a fellow worker, go on live like this, split the screen, have a conversation. People love it.
Yeah.
What can you teach people? Educational posts. There's so many people out there that are now actually getting huge recognition for being sole educators. They're not even with a brand. They're just sharing their knowledge with the world. We have to get rid of this mindset that someone's going to steal your clients because you share one of your techniques or you share your secrets. It's not going to happen. People love you because you're you. So don't worry about giving away your secrets. Share what you have with the world. Honestly, you'll be paid in dividends for doing that.
And additionally, never think that what you know is not worth something. And I think we get stuck in that. You know, Giselle posted that video of herself blow drying her hair. You know, you could say to yourself, oh, but there's 100 videos of people blow drying their hair. And don't people know how to blow dry their hair? No, they don't. You do, because you're a hairstylist. And also, yeah, there's a lot of videos of people blow drying your hair, but your clients don't want to see those people. They want to see you. And, you know, like, imitate. Just because someone else did it doesn't mean you can't do it. Just because I posted a video of me doing my roots doesn't mean you can't copy me. I don't care if you do. I think you should, in fact, because I want you to be successful. I'd be happy for your success.
I think we have to remember too that what we see on our feed is tailored to us as beauty professionals. And so we might feel that that's what the world is seeing, but that's what you're seeing because that's what you look at. Your client might not be following other people who do beauty services, right? So kind of think about that too, right? You know, how many RMTs are they following? How many people are they following that in that category? You might be the only one. So you might be the only blow drying video they've ever seen. Don't assume anything.
Christine tells me this all the time. We're talking about algorithm again. Just because we see 100 different hair accounts popping up on our social media because we're a hair account, that doesn't mean that that's the explore page of our clients.
Right.
We're very in our world. That's what we see. And so we think that's what everybody else must see, but they don't see that. Maybe your client's explore page is completely covered with home decor stuff and they're not
celebrities
or celebrities. And they're not going to come across that blow dry like video, or that doing a face mask on yourself video, or this self adjustment. Yeah, there's a million people doing these things on Instagram, but there's also billions of people in this world. So you still matter.
Absolutely. Controversial posts too, guys. It takes a lot of guts to do this, but there are some people that can light a shitstorm on social media. And you know what? they get brownie points for doing that. When you see those posts that have like 100 comments and people are going back and forth, you know, they're exchanging their opinions, they maybe like digging into each other. That person who posted that, it's like getting super boosted by the algorithm. It says to everyone, this is interesting. People are impacted by these words. People want, you know, whether it's negative or positive, it's all attention, right? The publicity is publicity. It doesn't matter.
No such thing as bad publicity. That's what they say in Hollywood. That's absolutely what we're saying on Instagram too.
It's the way it goes. How-to videos, instructional posts, like we were just saying, how to put your hair in the perfect ponytail, how to blow dry your hair, how to do that perfect massage for your partner if they're, you know, feeling stiff in their shoulders, how to exfoliate your skin, how to, you know, how to do these things while you're at home, right? Because remember, people are dying to see us. They can't, but give them something to do while they're waiting so they don't go do something dumb, right?
So many questions about skin all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Do we use a regular exfoliator or do I need those crazy fancy pads for my face? Like, which one's better? I don't know. You know, that stuff.
Yeah. You could go on stories and answer frequently asked questions. Again, as the people that are doing the services, we have this feeling like people already know this stuff, but not everybody knows. It's amazing how many people to me don't know, you know, what a proper shampoo costs or why it costs more or how you should use it. Or, you know, all those different things, skincare included. Like, it's just, you need to educate, educate, educate. And again, not only does it build up your algorithm, but it also makes your clients trust you. It goes back to that marketing funnel. We're actually going to dive into that, I think, a little bit next week about how we now have to start. Once we have a clientele, it's all about building trust with them. And the last thing we've got here is inspirational and motivational posts. Whoops. This is kind of what we throw at you guys with BBC. We try and throw out stuff that you guys can learn from, some inspiration, some motivation. I think, you know, on an account for your business, you could make maybe every fifth post a motivational post. You know, it's up to you how you want to organize your account, but this is going to kind of lead into the apps where we can kind of look at our grid and see what it's going to look like and how you want your brand to appear to your clientele. So getting into the nitty gritty of it, I'm sure all of you are wondering, how can I improve my photos? How do I do this? How do I make my picture like look like the girl on the left? How do I make it look like that? I know my work is good. It looks good right in front of me. I see the client walk out and my picture looks nothing like what it actually looks like in real life. There are little tricks to make those photos look good. So some of us have rooms with natural lighting. Some of us don't. But either a spot in your room that has consistent, good, indirect natural light or having a ring light can definitely make improvements. If your picture is not well lit, you are never going to get quality pictures. You're not going to get the crispness. You're not going to get the true to tone look. You're not going to get that really nice bright light look that everyone's really loving right now. So if you don't have the lighting right, nothing else really matters. You know, you got to nail that. And like I said, if you don't have a window, a ring light works as well.
Mm-hmm. And like, you just want to give your work justice. You know, I know even Julia, she's got a dark suite, you know, the lighting is lit for mood. I know that the lights that we have in our studios, they're just not the best. They're like yellow or weird artificial light. So consider, you know, when it's warm, stepping outside to get those real life images or yes, using those lights.
I've never really told this to anybody. I think Tatiana also did it too. We both switched our fluorescent bulbs to daylight bulbs. So fluorescent bulbs come in like cool, neutral, and warm tones. Mm-hmm. And I think the ones that are standard in our suites are actually a cool tone. Or maybe it's a warm, either way, it's on one end of the spectrum and it makes everything look weird. So if you change them, you go to Home Depot and you get new fluorescent bulbs that are daylight bulbs. It definitely changes the way your room looks and how it lights up. People will often walk by mine and be like, why does yours look brighter than mine? It's literally the tone of the bulb that I'm using in my room.
Amazing.
Clean your lens on your camera and phone. Guys, this is one of the most important things. I have made this mistake 1,000 times and it's probably the worst thing ever. You know, you have that perfect client. She's all set to get her picture done. You take 20 pictures and they're all blurry when they leave. You know, you look at your photos like, what the heck happened? The grease from our hands, our makeup, using our phone, putting product on our phone, definitely impacts the clarity of the photo. I always take my shirt, cotton, of course, nothing rough, and I make sure that camera, you know, that lens right here, is always wiped off before I start. And it literally, even if it's just a little smudge on the lens, it makes a huge impact on your photo. So always, like, standard before you take any photos, whether it's at the salon or with your family, always clean your lens. Creating interest through capturing several different poses. This is one thing a lot of people don't realize that good accounts do. They take 8 to 10 different poses with their clients. You know, especially when you're doing hair, you're going to do one from the front, one from the side, one tilted down, one from the back, maybe the arms up, maybe one arm up, maybe your hands in their hair. Like, there's so many different poses that you can do with your clients. Try and do as many as possible in the time that you have, because what you can do is you can reuse that content down the road. Say you post the picture on the left, 3 months from now you post a picture of the back of her hair. Nobody knows it's the same person. Nobody knows it's not a recent photo. I think a lot of us think, oh my God, they'll know. They'll remember that girl from 3 months ago. No, they won't. They don't care that much about your business. Trust me. And if they do, they're weird. Okay. That just signifies, like, stalker mentality. So make sure you're taking multiple photos, and then you'll have a bank of content you can choose from. You're not waiting to get another client in that you like, you know, to take a picture of their skin or their hair. You're just going to do it and have it on file for later. Again, taking 10 to 20 photos of each guest, snap, 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 go through them afterwards, delete all the crappy ones, keep all of the ones that you think are good, you know, delete the blurry ones. Don't fill your phone up with, you know, the ones that you're never going to use, but keep an assortment that are decent.
Yeah, no hoarding behavior.
Yeah, it tends to fill the phone up pretty quickly. So go through and delete the ones that aren't good. And use simple software to brighten your pictures and backgrounds. We're going to go through that in just a moment.
And I'd just like to add a point. If you are finding, you know, you're not getting as much engagement on your grid and you're wondering why, you might be posting too much of the same thing. You know, it just all looks too similar. We definitely talk about having a niche and posting similar content, but the back of somebody's head over and over and over and over again, it gets really repetitive and people just stop engaging.
With the clients that are willing to let you take a picture from the front or the side, go crazy. There are a number of people that will just say, listen, I'm not comfortable being photographed from the front today. I don't have my makeup on. I've got a blemish. I'm dressed in my ugly clothes, whatever they might say. You have to respect that. But there are definitely clients that come with their lipstick on, with their makeup done, because they know you're going to take a picture of them and they love it. They love to share those photos with their family and friends afterwards. I actually usually take about, you know, a three that I edit of a client and I'll send them, I'll DM them the pictures and they'll repost and tag me. Amazing.
Perfect. Plus I always start with the back. They always say they don't want the front and I'll start with the back and I'm like, well, we'll just start in the back and maybe just a little bit of the side and, you know, I'll make sure your hair is covered and then they get kind of into it. And then I tell them, don't worry. Like I'll edit that blemish out in post-production. You'll look amazing.
And once they see the finished product, they'll never question you again. As long as it's flattering, you know, you're obviously not going to post a picture that's not flattering of someone. Why would you? It wouldn't look good on your grid anyhow. So you gotta let that client know that you have their best interest in mind and how they look in the fit photos, right? So just looking at these two pictures here, I wanted to use this as an example of two Instagram accounts that we may see out there and what's different about the two pictures. Notice that the hair colors that these women have are similar. They're both balayage. They're both sort of root smudged. They have highlights fading into the more solid color at the ends. But why is it that the picture on the left looks better than the picture on the right? And it goes back to what I was just saying about lighting. When you have a well-lit photo, you can see the true tones of the colors. The main difference between this one is actually the color on the left is actually my friend Jody. She works in London, Ontario. She takes all her clients outside. So she even during the winter, she doesn't post many pictures from inside the salon. She likes to have her clients outside, and she'll kind of take a break a little bit and use older content during the winter. She really likes everything to be well lit. It gives a real like California sort of Southern vibe. Everyone looks like they're in the summertime. That's the beachy sort of brand she's building, right? So that's the way she keeps it. The picture on the right is actually really good work, but it's not photographed well. It's a weird angle. It's dark. It's probably the lens is a little bit dirty. The light is coming from in front of the guest. It should be coming from always from behind the photographer, by the way. You always want your light source behind you, not in front of you. These little details are what makes the big difference on the overall following you'll get, right? I wouldn't necessarily want to follow the girl on the right unless it was someone I knew. Let's just be real. So how do we get this look?
Daylight.
And if you don't have daylight, you do have Snapseed. So Snapseed is the app that I use for my photos. It's an app that you can get on Android and on Apple. You just go into the app store and download it. Snapseed is what it's called. It'll come right up.
It's free. And
it's free. Yeah. You don't have to pay a single thing. You do have to learn a little bit about the program. So I'm just going to show you a bit about the tools that I like to use. There are, as you can see, there's tons of different filters. I never put a filter on my pictures. I feel like that distorts the image. It gives like the wrong idea to the clients. If they're going to see everything filtered, they're going to think that, oh my God, your work is a certain way that it's not. And that just sets expectations and for people that are unrealistic.
They just know, and then they don't trust you, you know?
Now, if you're an influencer and you're doing all these outdoor pictures of yourself, feel free to use a filter on everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that's the look you're having, but with hair pictures, we're looking for reality, right?
Or with anything, skin, lashes, whatever. I want to see the real deal. You know, I want to see the end result for real. And I mean, enhancements are totally okay. Changing the lighting, you know, pulling out the, well, Christine's going to go out through her editing process. But there's no shame. It's okay. Everybody edits their photos.
I think what we need to remember is we're always trying to make that photo look as realistic as it did when it was right in front of you. Sometimes cameras, and it's even been shown that, like, you know, the Apple iPhone versus the Google Android phones or whatever, they photograph hair like differently. Some of them are warm, some of them are cool. They'll actually put them side by side, and sometimes it's like totally different photos, or same photo, totally different colors. So keep that in mind. Just remember what it looked like to you when you were standing in front of it. As long as you're making it look realistic to what it was, it's not a problem. It is a problem if you leave it looking orange and it wasn't orange. You know what I mean? Like, that happens sometimes under fluorescent lights. It can do weird things.
Yes.
So I like to use a button that you see circled there in the middle, called Tune Image. I can't really show you the actual bar. It wouldn't let me photograph it, but basically it brings up a few different tools. And the one I like to use is either brightness or highlights. So brightness is going to take the whole picture and make it brighter, as if I had a bigger light source. Sometimes if you go overboard, it can kind of blow out the picture. So you use that minimally. And then there's also another tool called highlights. And when you actually do the highlights, it only grabs onto the lighter portions of your picture. So when you adjust that, you can actually boost the brightness of your background and subtle brightness in your highlights as well. The second tool I absolutely love is the selective tool. So the selective tool is when you have an area that's not matching the rest of your photo. Just for instance here, if you look on the photo on the left, the bottom left corner is a little bit darker than the top left of the background. For instance, I would take my selecting tool, hit that bottom left corner there, it would grab onto just the background. I would take that particular section and boost the brightness in it so it matches the top corner, just for literally for continuity with the brightness in the photo. It changes everything when the background looks even.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is the healing tool. So the healing tool is for small things that you want to remove from the picture. For instance, I have a hook in my back behind my door. And when I take pictures of people from certain angles, I catch that hook in the corner of my picture. I can actually take my healing tool, run it over like a crayon over top that hook, and it'll match the hook to what the background is, which is white, and just completely get rid of it. the other reason we use it too is for blemishes. So you do have a client that's really feeling like, oh, I don't like that mole on my neck, or I really don't like that zit that's showing up on my forehead. You can use that tool to get rid of it. It's a fantastic way to use it. So those are the three that I really, really like and that I focus on. There's so much more I could teach you about this, but those are the ones that you really need to master.
Snapseed is wonderful. I use it for professional photos, personal photos. It's almost like a Photoshop on your phone, and it's completely free, which I can't believe.
And it's very user-friendly. I mean, if you say, oh, I don't know how to do it, all you need to do is go on and just select a photo and play around. Play around for, you know, an hour while you're watching TV and figure it out. That's how I did it.
Yeah.
Trial and error.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about how you can stand out with video content, because I really do enjoy video content. I wish I had a little bit more time to create more. Oh, I'm so funny. I wish I had more time. Literally,
limiting belief.
Okay, like I got time. Okay, it's mostly an excuse. But I am staying busy. Okay.
Hey, you make video content. What are you talking about? You've done more than I have.
So I made some video content. It's super fun. I think it's just hilarious. And the biggest hurdle of making video is just the getting up and just setting it up and saying, okay, I'm just going to do this.
Getting inspired. I think you guys, you know, when you feel the inspiration, you got to run with it. I think that's the main thing. There's days where you just feel like, blah, I don't want to do it. Then don't do it on that day. Do it on the day where you wake up and you feel good. You know, and that might only be one day a week, but just try and do it while you have that one good day where you're feeling good.
I was feeling inspired to post today, so I created a few posts because I was in flow state, right? You want to be working in that flow state. So if you're feeling like, today, man, I'm going to make a video, don't say, I'll make it later. Do it in that moment if you absolutely can, or do it within the next hour, because 70% of browsers now engage with Insta stories. We talked about this before. Typically we're hitting those bubbles before we're scrolling through the grid. The scroll is my like secondary thing that I do. Add variety to your stories. You know, you don't just want to be a talking head. You want to do polls, ask questions. And adults are like kids. We like to press buttons. If you are going to talk for an extended period of time, I would always assume that people are watching with the sound off. So you may notice in my stories, I'll always add like a little bit of like a caption that summarizes what I'm saying in that clip. It may not be verbatim. There are apps that will do that for you. But I think sometimes just putting the gist, and sometimes I like to leave a little bit of element of surprise in there for people. And we're going to talk about that in the next few. Bring information, educational content to IGTV and promote it in your stories. Let people know that it is there. Choose the option to put it as a preview on your grid. Very important. Picking a title that actually, and I think we're getting to this. So Christine, if you could just, yes. So give them a reason to watch until the end so you can reveal something, right? That's what I mean. A little bit of that element of surprise. Like sometimes in my stories, I'll add the caption. Sometimes the caption will be like, oh, and guess what? Like I did this. And they're like, but what did you do? I want to hear you say it. What did you do? Same with my videos. I give them a reason to watch till the very end. It's just that hook, you know, something's going to happen at the end that's going to make it worth it for you to sit here for 5 minutes. Because think about your own behavior. Sometimes you can't even sit through a 15-second clip of somebody's, they're taking too long, they're moving too slow. You have those thoughts, so everybody else has them. So you have to keep them glued, engaged.
How many of you fast forward through commercials?
Yeah.
I do all the time.
All the time.
The other thing I just wanted to add before you move forward is light bulb in my head. If you do have an Instagram business account, if you do make an IGTV video and you upload it, you can use the swipe up feature in your story. So that is the one and only time you can use that feature is on your business to go to an Instagram video or IGTV video.
Yes. Lastly, give your video an accurate description of what it's about. This video on the left, perfect. It's not like some fluffy, like useless name. It's exactly what she's going to show me, what she's going to do. The picture shows me what she's going to do. So the pick a captivating photo. And pro tip, when you are making videos, always assume you're going to need to take a screen grab of yourself. And like, this is a pro tip that I'm actually quite bad at implementing. But before you film the video, have a few moments where you actually like stand there with the brush and you're about to do your thing, or the brush here. Have that in the video. Can sometimes be like, you got to think of everything, but you got to think of everything. Okay.
Yeah, they allow you to pick the cover photo, but if you have only weird faces in your whole video, because if you're talking, you got your mouth open, your mouth closed, your eyes blinked, it's hard to find a cover photo that looks good. So that's what Anya's getting to there. Give a smile at the beginning or the end or something where you're really just, you know, you're preparing for that photo so that you can add a captivating front cover photo to your video.
Or take a picture of yourself, like a selfie. All right, moving forward. Now, loving the video, I'm going to share with you my favorite video editing program. Unfortunately, it is not free, but it's worth the money. And I think it's like $3.99. It is a monthly subscription. So Splice is what I use. Several different projects that I've created using this app. It has just so many wonderful features. I find it to be a lot better than iMovie. iMovie's okay. It doesn't have quite as many features. And I also find like the capability to have a vertical video the way you need to for IGTV. I think that may have changed recently, but anyways, without further ado, splitting. Splitting allows you to split your video into parts. It also allows you to split them into parts and take out the bits that you don't really want to include. So for instance, you can shoot continuously for 15 minutes, but you can cut chunks out very easily by using the split tool. Next, my other favorite tool is the speed tool. So you may notice in some videos, once you've split up your clips, you can decide what you want to fast forward that isn't really that important to show in full length and what you need to slow down for. Sometimes you just slow down for dramatic effect, and it's really, really engaging, and it's really, really great. So yes, you will need to do that. And after you do that, I love to use the volume tool. And mostly, do I love it? Yes, I love it, but it's also very important, mostly because when we speed up chunks of our video, they tend to have that little chipmunk sound in the background. And I've certainly seen people post sped up videos of themselves with this little jibber jabber in the background. You gotta turn down the volume of that particular split clip in your video and take that out. And then you can turn the volume up on the parts where maybe you're speaking. Next.
Yes.
It's okay.
There we go.
And then we have the volume tool, which is what I was just talking about, which was bringing up the volume up and down once you can bring up the speed. So kind of two birds, one stone. And then my new discovery that I absolutely do love, because I do think that music really adds a layer and level of just more entertainment. You can upload your own iTunes music, your purchase music, and use your favorite song. Just make sure to credit the artist. Sometimes Instagram will be picky and will remove certain things if it's like a really popular artist. So I try to use music from maybe not Jay-Z or Beyonce, because I know that they pretty much take that down. But also they have all this library of these wonderful little kitschy background music that like I recently used for the Root Touch of video that just added like a really fun element, almost like a, made me think of like the Shopping Network or something.
My favorite thing is just a background beat, like a good, you know, dubstep kind of song or something that's got a little bit of rhythm to it, just so it keeps it interesting.
Make sure you're turning the volume down so it's just in the background, and it's not, there's just nothing more annoying than like the actual music being too distracting from the actual video, especially if you're speaking. But if you are too afraid to speak on camera, Giselle, and you are way too shy, then you can use this next feature. The sound effects feature, where it actually allows you to record a voiceover. So this is wonderful, like for people like, for instance, for Gianna or maybe Julia, which when you can film yourself performing a service on a client, and then you can go back and you can actually rewatch, you can edit the video the way you like, and then you, as you watch it, you hit the record button and you can just talk over the video explaining the instructions, or, you know, even if you feel more comfortable with having written a script and having watched that video, it just takes away that element of having like talk on the spot and think of what you're going to say. I really love this feature. I think it works very, very, very well with instructional videos, or videos where you're just not able to speak during during the service or during whatever you're doing.
And it is completely natural to feel weird about hearing your own voice initially. It's weird, especially if you're not used to being on camera. You're gonna think, do I look like that? Do I sound like that? Really, is that how I sound? You have to just get comfortable with hearing yourself. And honestly, for the first year that I was doing video, all I could notice was every flaw about myself and how I talked and how I said weird things. And then you just have to sort of accept yourself for who you are and know that nobody is out there judging you for all the little things that you, all the little quirks you have. In fact, it makes you different than everyone else. Just be yourself. That's all that matters. And I always like to remind people that you will repel some people and some people will love you, and that's okay. What we want to happen with our marketing funnel is to drive in our clients that we really want to see, our dream client, and to repel people that we really don't want to see. And what that actually does is just eliminate that awkwardness, that when you get that random client that's not your dream client and you don't click and connect, sometimes you can kind of avoid that happening just by showing your face and showing who you are and really just kind of connecting with the people who would be your friend in the real world. You know what I mean? So it gets rid of the weirdos, to be honest. I love it for that.
Awesome. Just kind of reading through the content because for some reason it wasn't updating for me. Giselle, do you feel awkward asking them to pose and stuff? Then don't. Get the back, get the side, cover their face, and you're really not asking for too much. Is IGTV different than stories? Julia wants to know.
Yes.
Very different. 100%.
Very different. So stories are going to be little snippets and clips of things. It's going to be more of the behind the scenes action. You know, what are you doing today? What are you up to? You know, maybe it will lead people to your actual grid to see a new post. Maybe it's you out, you know, doing things with your friends or family, or doing some hair, doing some services, some skin services, massage, little clips of things. Whereas IGTV is going to be your more edited sort of formal type of video. Not that it has to be super formatted.
No. It could be Q&A. Formal. It could be you answering frequently asked questions, you know. Yeah. It just gives you a little bit more space and time to bring the content in more detail, I would say. And again, yes, it is different. As we talked about the algorithm, the more things you use, the more Instagram likes you.
And Julie said, authenticity is really important. And I think you can get really authentic on stories. There are people that have plenty of followers that will go on with their hair in a top knot and no makeup on and everything and just be real. And they'll say, you know what? I got something I want to say to everybody, but I just rolled out of bed. Don't mind the face. Don't mind the hair. Nobody actually cares. They feel like they connect with that person, like they know them personally, to the point where the people who do that, I went to Washington in the summer to the Behind the Chair show, and there were a number of educators that I felt like I could walk up and be like, hey, nice to meet you. Like we were friends. They don't know who I am, but I feel like I already have a sense of who they are through their stories.
Yeah.
So previewing your grid before you post. This is a little trick that we were kind of bringing up earlier about really planning out the way you want your Instagram to look. A lot of people who have really cohesive looking feeds will be using something like this so they can preview it and see what it's looking like before they actually post. So what you're seeing here on the right is actually our account. When you do connect your business to Plan, which is an app, you can get it through the App Store with two N's, PLANN, or Planoly, which is really, really similar. What you'll do is plug in your Instagram information. It will bring up your current feed. And then that little plus sign in the right-hand corner there allows you to enter pictures from your phone. So if you've got a number of photos that you're going to be using, you can add up to, I don't know, I think 100 photos or something like that. Then you can actually tap that photo, prepare what you're going to say in that post, and just let it live there in this app until you're ready to post it. So you get to see what it looks like. You get to plan your verbiage. You can do that when you're in a flow state, and you can see what it's going to look like. So it all kind of just meshes together nicely that way. And then you can actually post directly from the app.
And they have I love that little hashtag feature on the right-hand corner there. You can actually, we talk about very much about not using the same, you know, like copy and pasting the same exact group of hashtags constantly is really actually bad for your, especially if they include spam-like hashtags, Instagram will block you. So that feature just kind of allows you to create different groupings of maybe different hashtags you might want to use, so you can alternate them and add them to your posts. And I think that's really, really, really useful. I mean, the time you can schedule your posts, it won't automatically post for you, but it makes it darn easy by copying the caption to, I guess, your phone and opening Instagram for you. And then the picture's there, you just have to paste the caption that you had written. You know, a lot of people will batch work. You know, we talk about being in flow state. If you want, I've actually uploaded it this week, For this webinar, I uploaded the planner, the weekly planner, and you can use that or you can use this. But just creating the intention, you know, if you're in a flow state, you know, you want to post maybe 3 things on your grid that week, then maybe on Sunday night or maybe on Monday night. And it's really hard to predict when you're going to be in a flow state. But I find sometimes if you can amp yourself up and prepare yourself for it, and you know that it's coming, you're going to sit for an hour, hour and a half, and you're going to create some content for that week. Like, imagine the weight it would take off your shoulders if you just sat there, you created picked three pictures, created 3 short posts, and, you know, scheduled when you were going to post them. Done.
Keep in mind too, guys, the best time to post is between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And a lot of us, I mean, I shouldn't speak for everyone because Anya is a morning person, but a lot of times I write my posts in the evening, and it's so tempting. And I still do it a lot where I post at like 9 o'clock. You can literally see the difference in engagement from something that's posted just before bedtime to something that's posted in the morning, because that post from the morning gets people, they're engaging in the morning, then they have the whole day to see your post. If you post it at 10 o'clock, you might get a few people that'll see it that are checking their phones before bed, but you're going to miss all those people that would have seen it during the day. So by using Plan and Planoly, you can have that post written when you feel like you're in that flow state, which might be at 8 o'clock at night when you sit down to watch TV after work, but you save that post till the morning and you'll get better engagement.
Yeah.
That's just my 2 cents.
Gianna asked, should your post have the same colors so you have a trademark? You know, I think colors do matter. It depends what you're going for. You know, we talk about, I think that, you know, I truly believe that it's that curated look is a little bit phased out if you're not like a big brand. Like I, for some reason, I think of Nordstrom's or like a Lululemon, right? They seem to have this curated professional look, and it almost makes them seem unapproachable. I would just say, if all your pictures are dark, make them all dark. If they're all really bright, make them all bright. Do they necessarily have to be the same colors? I think that's more important for the photographers out there, you know, who are trying to sell a very clear, you know, these are the type of photos that I take, and this is what you can expect if you hire me. If you're not a photographer, I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I just think clear, professional photos is what you should be striving for.
What can act as a theme for your Instagram is actually your suite, whatever is on your walls, if they're gray, if they're white, if they're light pink, use your walls, choose one wall where you can take a clear photo and stick to that background consistently. That works. There are some people who now still photograph with the salon in the background, but keep in mind, we want to have the focus. If you're using portrait mode, the focus, it needs to be on the client, and the background needs to be not busy and not clear, because what can happen is when everything's jumbled and they see the mess in the background and the people in the background, it can be a little bit distracting from your work. Some people do it successfully. I think DV Color is one of the people who oftentimes will have the background with the salon, because I think the window's probably coming in from the other way. So yeah, that's how they do it. They blur the background a little bit and it's fine. But I prefer to have my blank wall, an area in my suite that can be consistent. And sometimes I'll show a little bit of my products or my plants and stuff like that. That's my brand. So think about what is it about your suite that's different, special, and unique. And if you don't have that yet, that's something you need to consider doing. What is your thing? What makes your suite different than my suite? Right? Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoy, like, gee, I just opened up your Instagram, and I think you're not going in the wrong direction by having this more curated look and using that color of, you know, teal. I think that's perfectly fine. That is your branding, and I think it's quite important. So honestly, I think I've seen a big change in your social media, and I think you're heading in the right direction. I think also in your field of work, you're a chiropractor, you're a professional, you're trying to gain people's trust, and you might move more so in that direction so that, you know, you can, you know, depending on your demographic, depending on who you're trying to attract, is your client going to feel more comfortable? You're getting sick of the teal. Well, it is a little much, you know.
You can rebrand, girl. You can rebrand whenever you want. Maybe that's something I've done a million times.
Little accents next time, you know, and maybe you need less of that and a little bit more, but you have so much variety. You've got the carousels, you've got the IGTV, you definitely have a lot of variety. Yes. So if you're, so Gianna says, just want to make sure that I can change it to different colors and be okay. Yes.
Even your logo can change. You just have to start being consistent with something different. I've seen a number of people change their fonts that they use on their posts, their logos, and people forget within like a week that you had a different logo. It's crazy. You don't do it super often, but you know, if every couple of years you get kind of sick of your branding logo, you can change it. It's okay. Even Staples. I drove by Staples the other day going into the suite to water my plants, and Staples has rebranded. Staples. It's a major company. Why would they change their logo? It was outdated. It was time for a facelift. So they did it. Mm-hmm. I drove by and I still knew it was Staples. It still had that feel to it. So just always keep your audience in mind. That's all that matters. You're going to be a little different than us, Gianna, with yours, because you have more of a clinical setting. And that's who your audience is going to be. It's going to be people who are looking for more of a clinician. So keep that in mind. What you do may be slightly different from what we do because of that.
Yeah. I just, with everything, I always say, don't be all over the place.
Yes. You know, when choose I did one my, stream of things, right?
One stream of things in everything. Even when I did my yoga teacher training, my yoga instructor, he kept saying, don't teach a yoga class that's all over the place. Your students will be able to notice and they're gonna hate it. So even if you don't tell them this class is about hips, it's about hips, and they're gonna know at the end of the class that it's about hips without you having to tell them. People can tell when things are all over the place. Don't be all over the place. Be intentional, always.
And if you guys wanna use that downloadable cheat sheet that we gave you for social media, it's a great way to kind of map out what you want to do going down the road. I'm a kind of person that likes to write things down. Sometimes it's not enough for me to have it on the phone. I just want to like scribble out my notes, what I want to actually post, what I want to write with it. Sometimes I just want to write it in my own handwriting. So keep that in mind. If you guys do want to do some planning for the month, it's there for you to use. Mm-hmm. We're also here to give you feedback on your social media. I know some of you probably want us to have a peek and see what we think, if pretending that we're a customer, giving you a little hints and tricks. We are more than happy to do that. Just let us know in the comments below your handle and that you want us to look at your Instagram. We can do a quick audit for you.
Yes, absolutely. Be more than happy. So just leave your handle down below and we'll check it out and give you any pointers that we can.
So I'm just going to stop the screen share there. Hello, mm-hmm. There we are.
Hello, it's just the two of us. I think we had a really great engagement today, guys. We had a lot of great questions. If you think of anything after today, you know, just pop it in there. We'd be more than happy to answer it and the best that we can. We definitely try and keep up to date with these things as it's changing all the time. Like, this video might just not be relevant in 6 months anymore, or you know, 8 months, and things will change again. And I mean, that's the thing with Instagram and technology. It's, you can't always keep up. You just stick with it.
if you feel overwhelmed, you're not the only one that feels overwhelmed. Even people that do marketing for a living, they go to school for it, they work for big marketing firms, don't know exactly how the algorithms work in social media. No one actually knows, because this thing is actually making its own rules and changing the rules constantly. So we're here to sort of do the research for you guys. We're both very interested in this stuff, and then we'll pass on the information as much as we can to you guys to keep you up to date and informed. And if you have questions, feel free to ask. We might not always have the answer right away, but we can definitely find it for you. And we are always here to help. And while we have the time off, we should be doing as much research and work into our business as we can, obviously.
And taking a break. If social media is making you feel some sort of way that it's not good for your mood, it's not good for your mental health, you know, it's okay to take a break. You know, it's fine. You can come back. No one's going to be like, oh my gosh, you went away for a week. You can't post anymore. You know what? You can post whenever you want and you can leave whenever you want. And it's not like in order to be part of society, you must always be on social media. So if it's making you feel some sort of way, just take a break. Just take a break.
Your instincts. If you're not feeling good about it and you just feel like overwhelmed or irritated or sick to your stomach about being on the computer or the screen any more than you have been, like Anya said, take a break. It's no big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Try and devote a certain amount of time per week to your business. I'm not saying sit down and work on it every single day. There's more to life than just our businesses. But again, sometimes we're looking for that extra time to do research, to do some planning. So map out your week with your calendar on your phone, try and figure out an hour or two per week that you can do a little bit of research or a little bit of work on things. Okay.
And something we just left out in the video that I'm just thinking about now is if you don't feel like engaging, don't post, because not only are those comments, that engagement, all that very important. If you're going to post something, be ready to reply to the comments that people are leaving, and not in 24 hours, but right then and there in the next hour. So no posting and ghosting. So if you're not in the mood, do not post. If you're not in the mood to engage, to respond to the DMs that come in immediately after, to respond to the comments, because Instagram is looking at your response time. So you got to be in the mood, you know, you got to be present in everything that we do, even if it is social media. So final words.
Thanks for joining us tonight, guys. We'll be back next week on Monday evening, hopefully, if all technology works for us, at 7:30, same place, same time. And we'll be more than happy to welcome you again for the last installment of Recession Proof Your Business. And that's all I gotta do. We'll see you later.
Good night.